Bibles with you this morning, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, but don't lose me, it's just six verses. Isaiah chapter 12, in the very first verse, the Bible says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in God and not be afraid. For the Lord God Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall we say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things, that is known unto all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." I'd like to preach, the Lord being my helper this morning, on the thought, "Let His praises ring." Dear Lord, we thank You for Your blessings and Your watch care. Lord, we thank You for this church in this place. Lord, we know that You have placed it here and You have sustained it. The Bible says, You're Yourself speaking, "On this rock I will build my church." And Lord, we know by that promise there will always be one of Your kind of churches somewhere defending the gospel. We praise You for the one that's in this place. Lord, we pray that You would bless Your Word this morning. We come to You again as a needy people. Lord, it'd be our desire to praise You as this calls us to do. And we'd be faithful to give You the praise for it, for it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Now, I want to, you know, in many of the verses, many of the excerpts I've read this week has been familiar verses of Scripture. Unfortunately, this one probably doesn't fall into that category. I've never heard anybody say, "My favorite verse is Isaiah 12. I've been around a long time, nobody's ever told me that. And I think one reason is we as the Lord's people have forgotten praise. And I think another thing, we're just a little bit leery of it, because of the new ecumenical movement, the praise and worship team. Now, so far I haven't seen your praise and worship team here at the church here in this place. We all are on that team. The church here is praise and worship. Now, I believe that in the modern day, we should not be fearful of praising and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are distinct and different things to do. A lot of times we want to push those together, but praise and worship are two distinct different things. And we're really going to be looking at praise this morning, and if we are doing it, or if we're not doing it. And you know, I'll have to say, a lot of the times we fall into that category of not doing it. We're not praising Him as we should. You know, a lot of people think because they come down to the house of God that they're praising the Lord. You know what? That's just your reasonable service. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You know what? The day is approaching. And you know, if your church group is committed to meet together, you need to be there. You're not doing God a service. You're expected. We need to praise Him. We need to lift Him up. We need to give Him great glory and honor. And so, really, what is this thing that we call praise, or at least what is this that the Lord God of all heaven identified as praise? The first verse says, "And in that day." Now, you know, for your benefit and for your study helps, the King James Bible is divided into verses and chapters, but the original writings were not like that. It was just one long text. And so sometimes when we're studying, we have to reach back and get what was just before that, just so that we'll understand where the writer was at in his writing. And this is one of those, because and in that day. Well, what day? What day was he talking about? We'll just drop back to 11 and we'll just read verse 15. "And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men to go over a dry shod." Wasn't the first time he's ever done that. "And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that they came up out of Egypt." Now, in this day, and that will make you understand a little bit more when he says, "You were angry at me, and now you're not." The reason that he was upset with Israel is because of their rebellion. And he had cast them into captivity, into slavery, and now they were getting away. No, you know, you say, "Well, I've never been in slavery." Well, I have. I've been in bondage to sin. And if you're saved, you have too. You might not recognize it as such, but certainly you were. Because, you know, the sin nature demands that you sin. Have you ever thought about that? The sin nature itself demands that you sin, and you will do it. Until the Lord intervenes and delivers your soul, you can't do anything but sin. And you say, "Well, I haven't done this and I haven't done that." Well, you know, good thing for you, but your nature is against God. I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care what you wear. I don't care what you do. If you're not saved, your nature is against God. And so we see as the Lord's people, that if we want to praise Him, we certainly have something to praise Him for. Those of us that are saved, and we'll get to that, need to praise Him for our salvation. You know what? You may be penniless. You need to praise Him for your salvation. I don't know what your economic status is. I know we get more than we deserve. I do know that. And we ought to praise Him. If you walked here this morning and didn't have gas to put in the car, you ought to praise Him. And so we see as the Lord's people that they had, something great and wonderful to praise the Lord for. They'd been delivered. You know what? I've been delivered. I've been delivered from my own stinking, ungodly nature. I've been delivered, and I ought to be able to praise the Lord for it. And you know what? I'll say this. If you don't see that, you probably don't understand your salvation. Either you're lost or you just don't understand. Because my nature was against God. And you know, I believe the longer I'm in this, because I was saved as a 12-year-old boy, I understand more how wicked I really was now than I did then. Because I did have a bent completely given to sin. And if we, you know what, I really believe that we can't appreciate our salvation enough until we realize that. So in lieu of deliverance, that's what he's talking about, in that day of deliverance, and in that day thou shalt say, "O Lord, I will praise Thee." Now, if you're saved this morning, I'm convinced that your nature's been changed enough, you do want to praise Him. Now, the thing that comes to my mind is how. How do we apply that? How do we get active in praise? What is praiseworthy? Because the Bible in the New Testament uses that term, praiseworthy. What is praiseworthy and what is hype? You know, there's a lot of hype out there today. You see people flopping around on the floor. Is that praiseworthy? What is the real deal? But I have to say this, I don't think this is praiseworthy either. I really don't. So So what is praiseworthy? What is right and what is wrong? You know, we as the Lord's people need to understand and know so that we can be active in praise. So He says, O Lord, I will praise Thee, though Thou wast angry with me, Thine anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. You know what? That He says, you know, if nothing else, just because that He's turned His anger away from you in salvation, we ought to praise Him. You know what? This morning, I got up over there at Brother Reynolds' house, and this old right hip of mine was killing me. But you know what? I got up. Praise you, the Lord. It hurt, but I was able to walk. Walked in there in the dining room, sat down, poured my own bowl of cereal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what? I bet Sister Reynolds' mother didn't get to pour her own bowl of cereal. Somebody had to do it for her. Praise you, the Lord. I had the ability to do that. All during my night of sleep, good sleep last night, I breathed, didn't have to try to, wasn't an effort, my heart kept beating. Praise you, the Lord. See, there's a lot to praise Him for, and we just jump right over it, don't we? In addition to the marvelous salvation and the goodness of God's grace, those of you that are lost, you need to praise the Lord. Have you ever thought about the Bible is very clear. Let everything that have breath of life praise ye the Lord. You know, my rooster, as long as he's living, and sometimes I'm ready to eat him. The barn is way up behind our house on a hill. And that stupid rooster will go from the barn all the way down, walk around, and sit right under my bedroom window and go to crowing. You know what? He's doing what nature told him to do. That's a praise unto the Lord. You know what? He don't meow. He does what he was designed to do. He crows just like a rooster. And it wakes me up. But see, he's praising the Lord. That little chicken has breath of life, does he not? He's a living creature created by the hand of God. And he's doing what he's designed to do. Now, are you? You know, I don't know how you feel about politics, but listen, I think that these transgender or whatever it's called out of the military, that's a good idea. And you know what this is? They are not praising the Lord with what they were made to do. A man is still a man and a lady is still a lady, and I don't care what kind of hormone therapy you're getting, that is just how it is. Praise ye the Lord. And so we as the Lord's people need to know, understand well how praise is effected in what we are to do. I will praise Thee, thou wast angry with me, Thine anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. What a wonderful thing. You know, when you don't have anything else left, and the Lord God sends the Holy Spirit that way, your way, and in that time of loneliness comforts you, praise ye the Lord. You know what? Sometimes that's all there's left, is that He would come to you, and you can commune with Him, and praise the Lord. You know, and you will go through that. I think I mentioned my sister. My sister died at 44 years old with breast cancer. Very young lady. She's a nurse. Very knowledgeable, good nurse. Death is no respecter of person. No matter how good Judy was in that sense, death reached for her and got her. But I remember the morning, I had gone to see her that night, and my nurse inside was telling me, you got 12 hours. And her daughters were with her, and I went home. And about 6 a.m., my niece called the oldest one and said, Mom's gone. And I remember this, it stuck in my mind, and you know, even though we were anticipating it, and I was glad she wasn't suffering anymore. Donna says, Larry, I'm praying for you. but I don't know what you're going through. And you know what? She was right. Both her brothers are still living today. There are places you're going to walk that your spouse, your mom, and your dad are not going to be able to help you with. And all you'll have is the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Give Him great glory and honor for who He is. And so, we as the Lord's people, we don't do enough of this. Verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Now, the longer I live in the Lord's salvation, the more confident I've become in His ability, not my own ability. And you know, many of you know, remember old Brother Garner Smith. He's from down there at home too. You know, Brother Garner used to say, "I trust Jesus so much I'd swing out across hell on a dry corn stalk." And you know what? I'm about that point too. Because listen, it's not about me. It's not about the dry corn stalk. It's about the ability of Almighty God. And He deserves our praise. He deserves glory and honor and praise every day that we live. And so He says, because He's the God of my salvation, I will trust in Him and not be afraid. Now, I want you to see the first element that will interfere with your praise is fear. I will not be afraid. Now, there's a couple of words that you don't hear much in Baptist churches anymore. The first one, amen. You know what that means? Most people don't even know what it means. I agree. Or, that's right. That's all it means. Amen. Now, you know, ladies, gentlemen, brothers, you need to praise the Lord. You have something unique to do. Praise ye the Lord. We're going to look at a term, sadly enough, that is almost Pentecostal in the modern day. Hallelujah! You know, Baptist people look at you like you got four heads. You know what? That's a praise term. They can't have it. We need to praise the Lord. Now, we're going to get to the flip side, how things can, you know, because we all have that fleshly nature and, you know, oh, I'm going to say hallelujah this morning and set this place on fire. Then we'll get the job done. But if you're led to say amen or hallelujah and you don't, you've taken great glory from the Lord. You've taken it from Him. So, I think the first thing we need to do if we're going to praise the Lord as unto we should is we've got to get rid of the fear and quit worrying about what other people might think of us and just praise the Lord because He did something for you that no one else could have done. He spoke life when there was nothing but death. He was the bright light when there was nothing but darkness. Praise ye the Lord. That is what we as the Lord's people ought to be doing. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now, me and brother was talking about Russellites this morning. And, Jehovah is his name. And let me say this, they are not Jehovah's Witnesses. They are Russellites. And you identify them as such. Now, you don't have to be ugly to them. And the reason they're Russellites, Charles Taz Russell got that mess started, not the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not the person of the great God Jehovah. And I remember one of them thought he was going to get something over on me one day. And he said, "Well, what's God's name?" And I said, "Do you mean God the Father?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh."
His eyes got about like that big. I said, that's my God. I said, that's God the Father. You know what? We don't need to be afraid of that. That's His name. Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, the everlasting God. That is God's name as we understand it. Nothing wrong with that. And we ought to give Him praise. Now, I'll say this, that's not Jesus' name. And another thing that's happened, you know what? I'll say this, and this Messianic Jew movement's about taking over. You know, one of them trying to fuss with me on the internet, he used to be a Baptist. And, you know, I just shot him a verse, answer him with the Bible. And I said, and His name shall be called Jesus. You know, if God says it, and that's what you're to name Him, that's what you're to name Him. And of course, you know, he got mad at me. But see, you can't refute the Word of God, can you? His name shall be called Jesus. And so, certainly we know that's a distinct person in the Godhead than the Lord God of all heaven, but Jehovah is a fine name. Verse 3 says, therefore with joy shall you draw out of the wells, draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, listen, I want you to see it says, with joy, go down there and draw you some water out. You know what? Most churches today, we meet probably 2 or 3 times a week, maybe the Lord's Day, and on Wednesday, something like that. I don't know what y'all's ordinary meeting course is. But I know it ain't every day. And so, on the off days, you go to the well, and you draw you something out, and you get you a good drink, and you go on to the next day. See, the reason we dry up like prunes is because we don't drink enough. We need to go to the well every day. And really more, you know what? You think about what you drink. Now, your pastor and his wife learned that I don't drink enough water. I've got this addiction to Diet Dr. Pepper. And that's what I drink most of the time. And I go in there and I drink, but something. But you know what? I drink one, and about 2 hours later, I'm wanting something else. And I'll either go get me a glass of water, another Diet Dr. Pepper, a cup of coffee. I drink that. A little bit later, I'm wanting something else. Why aren't we that way toward the Word of God? And so we as the Lord's people, certainly we need this continuing filling, as Isaiah says here in verse 3, and it says, come with joy. You know what? It's a happy, blessed thing that you have somewhere to go here in Boorsville, Missouri, that you can come down to the house of God and just fill up any time that you want to. You know what? It's a joyous, blessed thing that you for now have this good old King James Bible, and you can dig in any time you want to and drink and drink and drink. And you know what? You better look out because you may not always have this. I got 3 or 4 stashed because I think there'll be a day when they'll make that illegal. Because when you have strong, direct language against sodomites, they don't like it. And so you stuff you 1 or 2 back, put it in the cupboard or behind the wall somewhere because one day you might need it. So you go to that and you give the Lord the praise. Verse 4, and in that day ye shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon His names. Declare His doings. You know what? We ought to declare His doings. We ought to give Him praise and glory and honor. You know what? And I don't mean, you know what? He parted the Red Sea. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He caused the boat that Noah and his family got in. And listen, I don't know about you, and I like the Ark Encounter over in Kentucky. But you know what? I never see this in the Word of God. And again, I'm no theologian, but the ark they got over there has an end like a ship. But you know, the Word of God never tells us that. You know what an ark is? It's a box.
You know what the Ark of the Covenant was? It was just a box that they had the law of God, and Aaron's rod that budded in there, and a little basket of manna. You know what? In our minds, boxes don't float. But God caused that one to float. See, blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, all those things I've read about and all those things I have no understanding of, but you know what? What really gets it down to where you live is this. You know, I was born with a tumor on my kidney. My right kidney was destroyed before I even had the breath of life. They took it out, and mothers, you will understand this. Mom brought me home. I was in the hospital a month, full renal failure. The remaining kidney started working. Things looked up, but I didn't grow. At 1 year old, I weighed 7 pounds. That would get a mama's attention, wouldn't it? Something's desperately wrong. About 7-8 months, my abdomen swelled up like this. The day that they walked on the moon, July the 19th, 1969, I had a second surgery. They went in, there's adhesions everywhere, my bowel was strangulated, my kidney had stopped again. All that day they did surgery, all they came out to tell my mom, and Dad was in Germany, was that we've moved him from the critical list to the very critical list. That's all she got. You know, by every medical idea, I should have died. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did he not have a plan? See, they can condemn you to death, but you're not going to die until God says you're going to die. You know what? I'll be 49 in just a few months. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had a different plan. See, that we ought to praise Him for that and give Him great glory and great honor. Now, as a 12-year-old boy walking up down the streets of Carlisle, little community where I grew up, and you know what? Everybody, my brother, he was an abject rebel. And so I looked pretty good compared to him. I was June's good boy. I'm like, as long as James keeps that up, I've got it made. Right? And so, but you know what? I wasn't June's good little boy. I was debauched and ungodly and in desperate, desperate need of salvation. That's who I really was. And praise God, He spoke life to me. He saved my never-dying soul. I don't know why. Well, I do. It's to praise and glory of Himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Got out in sin even more. Listen, I told you this the other day. You disciple these young believers. Because if they don't know why, that they're not to wear breeches, they'll wear them. You see what I'm saying? You disciple these young believers so they'll know the why, and more importantly, they'll know the where. You see what I'm saying? And so we as the Lord's people, I never had that. There was not a sound church close to my home anywhere. And if I'd wanted to go to one, I couldn't get there. We didn't even own a car until I was 14. I couldn't have went there if I wanted to. Right? But see, grace intervened again. And Lord put me in a sound church. You know what's a measure of your redemption? How obedient you are to this book. That's a measure of your salvation. It really is. I didn't have an issue to have that hair cut off when I saw, hey, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I'm like, well, I need to get rid of this. Right? And so we as the Lord's people, you know what? That was a praise to Him. That gave Him great honor. That gave Him great glory. When I got rid of the short breeches, that gave Him great honor and great glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See,
The modest apparel is not just for our ladies.
Right.
We want to badger the ladies, but listen, we need to badger ourselves. We don't need to be running around without our shirts on. That's ungodly. That's exposing yourself. Where that came in and became acceptable among God's people, I don't know. But I know it's not. Praise ye the Lord. And so we're to praise Him with everything that we've got. Then I want you to also see that it says, make mention that His name is exalted. Tell others that He's lifted up. Verse 5, sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Now, I am not a singer, and Brother Cecil and Sister Mary will attest to that, sitting right there. But you know what? I sing unto the Lord. I give Him praise with what I... And I'm not a good singer. I'm tone deaf. My hearing is not good. But I sing unto the Lord. You know what? I don't mean to be crass, but I don't care what other people think about it, because I'm singing unto the Lord. And if you sing well, or if you sing like I do, either way, if you do it unto the Lord, it'll be great praise and glory and honor. If you have an excellent voice, watch, just like with preaching, when they come up, man, that song was something else. Give God the glory. Because it's very easy to get prideful of that. And so we as the Lord's people, we simply need to praise the Lord and give Him great honor. Singing is a way to give that out. Cry out and shout. Now you talk about hair-lipping a Baptist. Shouting. You know what? I have never seen that. And I'll soon be 49. I mean, truly... sincere, I mean, shout, right? Shout is shout. That's what it means. I mean, you don't lose nothing in the translation. You know what I'm saying? What does that mean in the Greek? It means shout. What does it mean in the Hebrew? It means shout, right? Yeah, you don't lose nothing there. So we ought to praise the Lord and praise Him with vigor and praise Him with energy, because that is what we are to do. And as long as we're not doing it to be seen of others and to get inward praise, and we're truly doing it for the praise of God, there's nothing wrong with it. So we as the Lord's people need to praise the Lord. Look at verse 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst or in the middle of thee. We need to praise the Lord. I want to look very quickly, because I've about exhausted my time, but go with me to the book of Psalms. Now, in the book of Psalms, all the Psalms together, praise is mentioned over 150 times. Most of the Psalms were written by David, a few by Asaph, one by Noah, and they understood praise. David knew what praising the Lord was about. Psalms 47. I want to look there just for a minute. Psalms 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. Now, sometimes we lose things because today we assume terrible is bad. But that's not what it meant. Terrible is great. It is shaking. It is bold. That kind of terrible. It's not a bad terrible, like you hear somebody's dead. Oh, that's terrible. It's not that kind of terrible. God is great. Oh, that's terrible. That's the kind of terrible it is. And so we see, he says, Oh clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is great, is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under His feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellent of the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Now that's another word that you don't hear many Baptists use, is Selah. I think it occurs about 70 times in the book of Psalms. Selah means praise or I agree. Just like amen. Praise. Selah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we see then, as the Lord's people that these words of praise be committed to memory so that we'll understand what is to be done. God is gone up, verse 5, with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trump. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Now, do you get that? We find four times in one verse, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. We are to sing, be a singing people and give praise to the Lord. You know, I catch myself singing. This morning I was brushing my teeth and stuff over at Brother Wayne's house. And I caught myself singing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's okay. That ought to be a song in our heart. He did great things for us. And we ought to never be ashamed to sing praises to Him. To give Him great glory and honor. That is a vehicle of praise. We need to use it in the right way. Psalms 113. Psalms 113. Psalms 113, in the first verse, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord." Now, I want to just point out very quickly, it says, "Pray ye servants of the Lord." You know, the Bible says in the New Testament, I think it's 2 Corinthians, but I'm not sure about that. Maybe it's Romans. "You are not your own, you are bought with a price." That makes us in bondage. That makes us a servant. And so, "Praise ye the servants of the Lord." We are to praise Him. And being servants or slaves, we don't have a choice. You know, sometimes I think why illness and tragedy creep in, because, oh man, then we're ready to call on the Lord, ain't we? Then we're ready to say something of His goodness and His grace. And so why not do it now, before the road gets rough and things get difficult? Let's just praise Him now. We're His servants. We are His bought possession. Praise ye the Lord. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. Let the Lord's name be praised." So when do we praise the Lord? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, praise ye the Lord. That's what we are to do. We're to praise Him all day long. When you're at the workplace and it's time to eat, you bow your head and you give a sincere thanks for that meal that's set before you. When somebody says, you know, you're a little bit different. You're different than the rest. What's up with you? Praise ye the Lord. And listen, it will happen. I'll say this, if you stand true, it will happen. Now, if you go in with the world, but if you stand true to the Lord and you look different and you act different, they're going to say, "What's wrong with you?" And you say, "Praise ye the Lord." See, we need to praise Him in everything we do, from the rising of the sun into the going down of the same. We need to praise the Lord. And you know what? Our little ones is going to pick up on that. You know what? If all you have is a religion that you do here in this place and you don't take it down to the house, your kids will pick up on it. And by the time they hit 18, they're gone. Because all it was a farce to them. A joke. And I'm afraid many times that is
what our babies are seeing. We need to do better than that. Gospel of Luke, bring it down to the New Testament time. Luke 19, verse 35. Luke 19, beginning in verse 35, the Bible says, "And they brought him," meaning the little donkey, "and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus thereon." Now, this is my coat this morning. And I don't even know where it came from. I think Donna got this one for me. And I'll take it back. I got this for my older son's wedding. And they've been married 5 years. And so, you know, it's not the best, but it's still a nice coat. And I wouldn't want to do this and lay it on a pony. I don't know about y'all. I have a pony. Well, my daughter has a pony. I take care of it. If I put this on Matrix's back, it's dirty. It's going to get smelly. And Matrix is always shedding, so it's going to get horse hair on it. And I don't want to do that. You know what that is? I'm not willing to praise the Lord. You know what? In time and eternity, this old coat's nothing. But, you know, it'll rot, won't it? Eventually, I won't be able to wear it, and I'll have to throw it away, or at the very best, it'll end up in a yard sale somewhere, right? It's just a coat. Praise ye the Lord. So they took their coats off, and their clothes were much more valuable than ours because they didn't have 15. They had one or two outfits at the most. And they used these coats for the Lord. And as he went, they, meaning this huge multitude, spread their clothes in the way. Took off their coats, this garment that was supposed to be very, very nice, and they laid it before the Lord, and that old coat, that old pony came on and stepped in it and drove those clothes into the mud. Praise ye the Lord. Don't tell me you don't have nothing to praise the Lord with, because you know what? I don't believe you. Praise ye the Lord. If all you have is a coat, you use that coat for the praise and the glory and the honor of the Lord. That's what you're to do with it. Verse 37. "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, they were praising the Lord. Now, I will say this. This is the very same bunch that could crucify Him a week later. But they were praising the Lord. They were giving great glory. So we find that what they praised Him with was their own things. Things that were precious to them, like this old coat. And they praised Him with their voice. Now, you might be me, like me, and voice challenged, but I can preach. I'm not a good preacher, but I know what the Bible teaches. And I can use my voice in that way. When I take the hand of a dying person, and I have done that lots and lots of times, I can point them to Jesus. I'll use my voice for that. See, we need to praise the Lord. Will you have an episode like this? I don't know. If the Lord motivates you in preaching, praise ye the Lord. Do it. Do it. But if all you can do is say, let me tell, in a private setting, maybe all it is you and your child, and you say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Praise ye the Lord. And that is where we need to be, and that's where we need to live. Verse 38, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You know what? I'm afraid sometimes we let the stones cry out. You know, for many, many years, the history that the Bible gives of Pharaoh and his bunch being drowned in the Red Sea was contradicted. And all the archaeologists says, no, it didn't happen. But, huge drought over there about 10, 15 years ago. And as the water receded, they saw chariots in the floor of the sea. You know what? The rocks were crying out and saying, yeah, it happened. It happened just like they said it happened. You know, you never ought to ever let the rocks of War Still, Missouri cry out in your place. You need to be doing it. You need to be the one lifting him up and saying, listen, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what we as the Lord's people ought to do. Acts 16. Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, at least in man's eyes, they didn't have much to sing about. But they did. There is always a reason to praise the Lord. There is always a reason to lift up His name. If you're saved, listen, friend, you're going to be with the Lord God one day. You're going to be with Him out through the ceaseless ages. Praise the Lord for that. Praise Him. Lift Him up. Say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's so good to me. He saved my soul. He gives me breath of life. You know what? When I left the house down there in Dover on Monday, my cupboards were full of food, and I came here, and I didn't have to worry if Donna and the young'uns had anything to eat, because I know they did. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, we need to praise the Lord. Don't tell me you don't have anything to praise Him for. In fact, if you begin looking, you'll see more and more and more and more. And we need to praise the Lord. We need to lift Him up. We need to glorify Him for who He is. Romans 15. That's the last place. Romans 15. Paul writing to the church at Rome. In verse 8. The Bible says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy. Now you know what I am? I'm a Gentile. Not one drop of Jewish blood in my body. He did that so I could glorify Him. That I could illuminate Him and say, there's the one that saved my soul. When you illuminate, you got a cell phone, everybody has a light app, you know, you pull it up from the bottom and you turn your flashlight on. That illuminates, right? You're to do the same thing. You're to illuminate the person of Christ. Glorify Him. Lift Him up. Now, I won't get into this very deep, but I would say most of the time, we hide Him. We hide Him by what we do and what we say and how we say it. And so we as the Lord's people, we need to lift Him up and glorify Him for who He is. To give Him great praise and glory and honor. That is what we are to do. Verse 10. And again He saith, rejoice! you Gentiles. So we are first to give Him praise, and then we're to rejoice in ye Gentiles with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. Now I want to look at two words that we don't use very much. And the first one is rejoice. Now, how many people have shot a gun in here? What was the recoil on it? The worst gun I ever, left bruises from here to here, was about a 60-year-old 12-gauge shotgun. And my father-in-law did this to me. He said, "You can't shoot that gun." And I said, "I can too." And I put that bullet in, and I shot it, but I wished I didn't. Because there was a bad recoil on it. Now, you can't get a recoil without shooting your gun. And you can't rejoice if you don't have no joy. Because that's what that means. It means to come again. That's what that means, to come again. So if you never ever put joy out, you're certainly not going to get the recoil. And so He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to show joy. And when joy comes back, He wants us to give Him praise. He wants to give Him glory and the honor. And then the last word that He says is to give Him laud. Now, when you laud something, you're obedient to it. You give Him laud. Say, "Yes, Lord, You are who You say You are." See, to give laud, the reason you don't hear that is that we have to be humble. We have to be willing to bow. Have to be willing to say, "Well, Lord, if that's what You want, I'll do it. I don't understand it, but I will do it. I don't understand sometime why with my street preaching ministry, I've been called a freak. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, why would You put me in a situation like that? You know what? I don't have to understand it. He doesn't owe me an explanation. I need just to give Him laud and say, Lord, if that's what You want me to do, I'll find a corner somewhere and I'll preach on it. That gives Him laud because that's saying what You want is better than what I want. So do you give Him praise? Do you offer Him laud? Do you lift up His name? See, we need to praise the Lord, and we don't need to be shy about it. We don't need to be afraid somebody's going to call us a name. We just need to praise the Lord. You know what? I'll say this: when you get to a nursing home someday, and you can't say anything, you'll wish that you had. Well, you come.